much. Item number 13.
From the Director, Department of Health and Human Services, submitting an informational report regarding the progress and activity of the Mental Health Redesign and Implementation Task Force. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Madam Chair, Supervisors, as you could see from the report, a lot has been accomplished over this last year. And for that, I want to thank Paula Lucy and Pete Carlson in particular for their leadership in being the co-chairs of the Redesign Task Force. I also want to thank Chairwoman Roma West for her participation, advocates who are in this room, and also community-based providers and consumers who really have been part of this process. It really takes a lot to get where we're at here today. Going through this process, you see a lot of different perspectives, people with different ideas, people with different interests, people with different priorities, people working for different bosses and representing different organizations, and it has really been the responsibility for us to kind of bring this all together and help us move forward. So I want to say that it's a good process in that it involves a comprehensive array of individuals and input, but it also is a process that, quite frankly, can affect us being able to implement in a quicker fashion. But again, I thank everybody who was involved in this effort and will continue to be involved in our effort as we continue to redesign our system to become more community-oriented and less institutionally based. As you'll see at the end of the report, there are these different recommendations that really have come from a variety of different reports. There's a lot of work that has already been accomplished. Some of these recommendations have been already executed, implemented, and are done. And there are many that are currently being worked on. But there are some that work hasn't been completed or even started. So what we say at the end of the report that we're going to turn these recommendations into goals, and they're going to be SMART goals, where they're very specific, they're measurable, they're achievable, they're realistic, and time-bound. And we'd like to provide this committee and the county board with further information as we develop these very specific goals. I was very encouraged at our last mental health task meeting where Jan Wilberg, who's one of our consultants working with Zia Partners, has already started to work with the action teams and are already looking at these goals and is starting to put them in that SMART format. We believe that we'll be able to have something for the board in the March cycle to have more information on that moving forward. But again, very encouraged. I think we're making a lot of progress. I think we're heading in the right direction. We're getting momentum, and I thank everybody for their for contributing to that process. And Ms. Lucy will give an overview of the report.
So, thank you, Mr. Colon. I want to thank Mr. Colon and others, again, Supervisor West and others, for their great support of this process. It's a very careful balancing act between moving too fast and too slow, and we're moving, I think, now gaining some additional momentum in terms of moving fast. I'd also like to invite Mr. Pete Carlson, who is the administrator from the Aurora Psychiatric Facility, to join us. And he's the co-chair of the Redesign Group and has been an outstanding partner, both professionally and as in terms of our organizational relationships and also his professional contributions to this process. As you can see, we We share some information, some of which is not news to you, not new to you, to share that the work of the Redesign Committee is based on the recovery principles of SAMHSA, the federal organization that oversees mental health. And recovery, I think, is the goal, that all of the things that we talk about when we talk about community activities and we talk about a continuum of care, we're really talking about moving individuals to a greater level of recovery, to the highest level of recovery possible for each individual. We're also very interested in working very hard to ensure that individuals is the key word, that we're doing individual-based care and that we're working with the individuals to help them achieve their goals and their dreams for a successful life in this community. We're also basing our activities on the goals of DHHS, the values of DHHS, which have been shared with you in the past and which are outlined on page 2. But again, we're looking at the respect for an individual, working through honesty and integrity, having high standards which relate to best practices, and I've already talked to you a couple of times today about how we're bringing in models from universities and research-based processes. Working collaboratively, as Mr. Carlson here, is a testament to our partnership, being good stewards to the resources that are entrusted to us, and honoring cultural diversity. As we've moved forward and as we've looked at the recommendations, they really come down to 5 areas of focus. Working on our system of care, which includes making sure we have a skilled workforce, and programming, which are, again, person-centered, recovery-oriented, trauma-informed, integrated, and culturally competent. Working on some crisis system redesign, ensuring that we have a full base, a continuum of activities that relate to culture crisis services. This, we think, is important in terms of reducing involuntary commitments and, again, in terms of doing things earlier so it can decrease our reliance on acute inpatient care. A continuum of community services, as we've been already discussing today in our contracts. An integrated multi-system partnership. Again, as I say, our partnership with Aurora and the other providers has been outstanding, and that kind of relationship has been what's allowed us to move forward. And lastly, our reduction on inpatient services, moving to more of a community-based program. We have a number of structures that are in place to help us move forward. We have a regular meeting between the private hospitals and BHD. Mr. Carlson co-chairs that committee as well, and that's a very opportunity for us to talk very openly and honestly about the operations. As you know, we have in the past made significant inroads in terms of transferring clients to other organizations, and currently we transfer about 45 to 55%, depending on the month, of our clients that are seen in PCS who are in need of inpatient care. About 45 to 55, depending on the month, are transferred to a private institution. That's things that are allowing us to do some downsizing in terms of our inpatient areas. The Milwaukee co-occurring competency cadre, this is a little bit what I referred to earlier. This is a growing group of our community groups, including BHD. We're a member. We're not necessarily the driving force, which is working to look at integration of co-occurring disorders, particularly mental health and substance abuse. As I said in our item 7, one of the things that we'll be hoping to do is eventually merging more of our contracts in that manner. But it is, again, making sure that there is no wrong door. If a client needs services wherever they present, we can offer them the opportunity to move forward. We've started a committee, a group of the service providers. That includes the CRC, the class providers, the stabilization houses, some of our certified peer specialists, and our PCS, to talk about how we, and our AODA provider, to talk about how we may transfer clients back and forth a little bit easier, and how we can, again, cut down on admissions, and what are some of the system improvements, primarily related to communication. As you can imagine, as clients are moving between systems, between organizations, communication is key. A newly convened group of providers have begun to meet monthly, and they've invited us to be part of their meeting, and we'll be doing that whenever the group requests us to join them. We have a long partnership with Disability Services. We've been working with them, as I said, in terms of the respite housing, in terms of our closure of Hilltop unit, and really working at some reprogramming in terms of what are we doing with people with cognitive disabilities. The housing division has also been a very strong partner. We have many opportunities to help extend individuals. People that are in recovery need to be living in a safe and secure environment, and the housing division has helped us has been an outstanding partner in sort of moving forward with the amount of housing that's available and providing whatever level of assistance is needed within that housing in order to keep people out into the community in living as independently as possible. And internally, we're trying to break down our silos. The Crisis Division and the Adult Services Division are working together and looking at one client as they move across the continuum. The also true of our Adult Services and Wraparound, as we're looking as children age out of Wraparound, how can we continue to provide them services? So a number of structures are in place to keep us moving forward. The resources I think we've discussed already today. One that we probably have not discussed very strongly is the expansion of the mobile team. This includes our new partnership with the City of Milwaukee Police Department, so that our first responder team will include both behavioral health staff as well as a police officer. And this, we expect, will decrease some of our emergency detentions. We are also working, understanding that we have so many contracts. We're working on things as relates to our quality assurance. We've hired a new, we're working on hiring a new quality assurance position that will really be both doing quality assurance and contract administration to make sure things move forward. The as been mentioned before, there were some one-year funds left over from $3 million. We've been back with a report to share with you how we plan to spend that money. That includes a certified peer specialist pipeline program, step-down housing, again, our partnership with housing, case management expansion, the individual placement and support, that's the employment piece, as well as some additional supported living units in terms of our partnership with housing. Mr. Colon has already shared with you that our next steps is that we are currently working with our action teams and developing to review their recommendations, to review their scope of work, and develop them into SMART goals with very clear tactics and goals. Appendix 1 is a very brief outline of accomplishments that have occurred to date related to the five treatment areas, and it gives you a pretty, I think, a good review of those activities. Again, these are things that perhaps we brought forth to the board but didn't highlight them as being redesign activities, and I think shows that we've done a lot of work. Appendix 2 is a list of all the individuals who've been on either an action team or on the task force, past and present, and so we have, as you can see, a wide presentation of individuals. So attached to the report is a chart. The chart, again, is divided amongst the five areas. The first column is the recommendation that came from an action team, the HSRI report or the Community Advisory Board. The second thing is an outline of what have been some of the tasks and skill and tactics that are necessary to achieve that recommendation. Third is the responsible party. Fourth is the progress points, and I just point out that the dates here is a little bit odd so that we can sort. It's a computer thing to sort. So like in the first one where it says 2011-04, that means April of 2011. It doesn't mean we've been spending 7 years working on this. It means that we've been working on this since April of 2011. So we see that we have progress points along the way. And the last one is the source of where did this recommendation come from. AT stands for Action Team, HSRI, and CAB stands for the Community Advisory Board. So that I think there's some confusion sometimes about, well, we had HSRI, and then we've had these action teams, and we had the Community Advisory Board. What happened to all of that work? All of that work is subsumed under this action plan. We would call this a very much a living document in that we there are things on here that we have completed. There are things on here that we continue to work on. Just this week, we had an education on a model for caring for individuals with substance abuse and mental health issues at the same time. And I think that we'll continue this to be a very living document and that we'll continue to add more additional progress as well as additional tasks. And as Mr. Colon said, we'll be adding an additional column that will be our SMART goals that will sort of say, how are these recommendations? What are the specific goals of those recommendations? then the tasks flow from there very, very easily. So I feel like, as Mr. Colon has said, there's been a lot of progress, but we also have know that we have work to do, and we know exactly what that work is that we need to move forward on. I welcome comments from Mr. Carlson, who's been, as I said, an outstanding partner, both organizationally and contributing his personal skills and professional knowledge to the process.
And I would just make a couple of comments. One is that, you know, I think that people are very concerned about the timeline, and I don't disagree with that. But I do think that having been involved in interfacing with the system for 20 years, we've made a lot of, I think, tremendous improvement in the last 4 or 5 years. We want to make sure that we can sustain that. I think the bulk of the work that we've done to this point has really been probably more upfront on the crisis-oriented things, the hospital-based things, and probably BHD operations, of which you know, Paula certainly would be very well aware of what they've accomplished. I think things that we're really kind of paying attention to now that are important, in my opinion, and with many of the private facilities, you know, sort of as we continue to downsize the inpatient unit, making sure that we're doing this in a way that makes sense so that we are responsibly caring for all of the patients and that we've got enough capacity in the system should we end up with surges that we're able to accommodate the patients that need to be seen. You know, one of the comments from earlier regarding the recovery houses, you know, really does depend greatly on the criteria that we're applying for these patients and whether or not they're appropriate for certain levels of care. I think the importance of having the full continuum so you can insert folks into the continuum where they you know, need to be as far as where their condition is at. So we'll pay attention to that. I feel like in the last quarter we've made tremendous progress. We've got a lot of momentum. Feel like we had slowed down pretty tremendously as we were going through the process to acquire the technical assistants, the consultants that we brought in. Now that they're here, I feel like we have really organized the materials. We've done a much better job of pulling things together to demonstrate to all of you and to the community the progress that we've made, because there is progress. I just think it's hard to see sometimes. But it's definitely going in the right direction, in my opinion, and, you know, really see the fact that we're getting traction now that over the course of the next several quarters, I think where you'll really begin to see some changes is in the community so that we can begin more of the institutionalizing and moving towards the community. But we got to do it in a smart way. And I think that, you know, we're at a point now where we're doing that. And, you know, just from where I sit, I feel very good about, you know, how things are going. I have not, in 20 years of interfacing with BHD, I can tell you the community and the providers in BHD are working much better together than ever before. And so I think to the extent we can continue this, you know, we're making progress, and this is the direction that I think we need to go. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson. All right. Supervisor Mayo?
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I want to commend everyone for working on this and working very diligently. And I also want to commend my getting ready to be my former colleague, State Representative San Filippo, for working on the task force to work on this stuff also. But Mr. Colon, I would like to first find out from you, what have you not implemented? You made it very distinct when you opened your remarks that you some things that, of the recommendation that you have not implemented, and why and what are they? Okay.
So, and Paula can probably speak to this a little bit more in detail, but if you look at the recommendations and then or the chart that we have at the end of the report, there's recommendations, tactics, and then progress points. So the progress points illustrate what progress has been made thus far. And in some cases, some of these things have already been completed or being worked on. What we'd like to do is be very specific and turn these into goals instead of recommendations so that we can make sure that they're very specific, they're measurable, they're achievable, they're realistic, and they're time-bound. So we'll complete them by a certain date. So putting them in that format will allow us to, you know, challenge ourselves to meet these goals within a specific time frame.
Madam Chair, but even though... Thank you. But you didn't. I want to know what are they? What are the things that were recommended, now you are changing to goals. I would like to know what you have not implemented so the committee will know and so I know how to track you. We came a long way. Mm-hmm. I remember when I first got on this board, we talked about mental health and at our complex when we tried to send patients to the private side, they didn't want to take them. I mean, just a few years, you just came and started working with us. Because they did not have insurance. They came to Milwaukee County. So, and I'm talking about even the small hospitals, I'm talking about even the small vendors. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to touch them. We have made a great progress right now. And I'm not knocking that, but it's something is more about money than the patient. But I'm glad now people are trying to work together. So I want to know what you have not done of the recommendations, and now you change the goals. I need to know what you have not done so right. We can talk about that, so we can follow that, so we can track that. Right. I'll be here for 4 years, so let me hear. I want to know about it.
Right. I think, Supervisor, that perhaps there are two ways that we could discuss that. One is that the $1.1 million report, which is now contained in this report as well, those are items that we have not accomplished yet but are moving forward on. The peer pipeline, the step-down housing unit, some additional case management that we're going to work with our providers to determine what kind of case management that may be. It may be different than what we're currently providing. Some additional housing units. Those were things that are and do have some timelines attached to it. I think if you look at the chart, anything that says 2013 are things that are in our plan for this year. So one of the big areas that we're getting from our technical assistance is a group called TriWest, which is a national firm that does work on data collection. So one of the first things we're trying to accomplish as a group is to create a community dashboard to say how many clients are in the system, where are they in the system, what is the length of stay, what are the readmission rates. Those kinds of things will be created part of that dashboard. That's a big area that's listed under the 2013 goals. Another area in the 2013 goals is we know that we have a lack in our system as it relates to caring for individuals who are hearing impaired or have visual impairment. And so that's an area where we're looking to improve in terms of our peer support as well as our services and community-wide. So that's another area that we're looking at and that we're beginning to spend some time on. We have just begun to really to look at the employment issues. As we've said, we're going to contract to do the program from Dartmouth. I think that's an area where there's much activity and much improvement that needs to be moving forward in that area. We have a partnership with a grant that the Faye Macbeth Foundation has through the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. It's called Nursing's Voice. And in that program, we're really looking at what can we do to help in terms of workforce. My agency, Pete's agencies, everyone's agencies has difficulty finding mental health nurses, people that are interested in that position. That's another area that we'll be spending some time this year working, continuing to partner with the Faye Macbeth Foundation on that area. Let's see what other ones I have here. Quality assurance and really looking at some across the system partner benchmarks is another area I think the TriWest can help us with, beginning with us looking at what data we need to collect, that dashboard. We can then begin to make some very clear quality things that are across the system. One of the areas I'm particularly interested in starting with is discharge planning, so that a client that is in our place or in Pete's place or at Rogers has the same expectations in terms of what kind of discharge planning occurs and what kind of discharge support occurs. I think that's the key for us all as a community, stopping some of our recidivism. We are working, we're in the process of getting a contract with the Weissman Center in Madison, which is a group that's particularly well-known and nationally recognized in terms of their care of people with disability services, cognitive disabilities. And between ourselves and DSD, we're working on getting a contract with them to really help us on what kind of community support is needed and what kind of community support can we put in place, particularly in terms of discharge planning, community integration activities, those kinds of things. As I said, we're looking to expand our crisis team to give more support to cognitive disability, people with cognitive disabilities. That's an area of real growth for this year. Again, I think as I've talked a little bit about some of the things that we're putting in place, I sent you all an email that our electronic medical record went live about 2 weeks ago. Once that really is really alive, we'll be able to really enhance our communication with our providers and be able to transfer our clients much more rapidly and get good transitions between clients. We shouldn't see people falling in the crack. We shouldn't see information falling in the crack. One of the things we know, for example, about trauma-informed care is that it can be traumatic if you ask people to keep repeating their story. So, okay, so you had a very bad thing happen to you. Tell me about it, tell me about it, tell me about it. If there's some way we can make that a good communication tool between partners so that we can facilitate transitions between organizations and between levels of care, that's another really important thing that we're working on. We're actually working on developing a critical pathway. Critical pathway is a phrase used in medicine, which sort of says, by this set some benchmarks for the individual's care journey and set some goals and sets the it's a good quality assurance measure and sets some mutual expectations between ourselves.
Okay, Ms. Lucy, you're fine. You just kept going. Okay, there's some issues that we got to deal with.
I have a lot of work to do, but we know what it is.
Ms. Lucy.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, also, Madam Chair. All the stuff that you stated and you kept going, and I'm glad that we are working on it, you're working with partnerships. Is any of those things that you can go work with other counties, not to reinvent the wheel and see what they are doing, or are we a unique model as alone, the only Alley Cali in the state? I'm curious. Because I know some do nursing homes, some do that, but I'm trying to figure out, is there ways that some of the things that you are trying to do on your list that we should implement, is there other models within Wisconsin?
I'd say, and I think Mr. Carlson has comments about this, I'd say yes and no. I'd say we do have some things that are unique, but I think we're getting the benefit from our technical assistants who do work nationally. For instance, the guy from TriWest has set up dashboards like this in other places, and so we're getting that benefit. And then we also get benefit from our partners who do partner with other counties, and so we hear from them some of the best practices that they're learning from other counties.
I would just comment that we've worked with a number of other counties, and I deal with some of the counties from Green Bay to Kenosha, and there are some uniquenesses here, and I think that counties have done things different ways. Just in my sense of what I've seen in other places and what we're doing here, I do feel like we're going down the right path. And I think that one of the things that we all have to keep in mind is that this is going to be an evolving process. And, you know, as Paula was going through her list, I mean, she could have gone through a number of other things. But as we get, you know, downstream another 6 months or whatever, there will be other issues that come up that we're going to need to address. I mean, part of what we're doing here is changing the culture of how we do mental health care in our community. And it is, just from what I've seen in other counties, there are definitely uniquenesses here. But I do feel like the things that we've put in place really address those things.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Sanfilippo.
Thank you. I agree there's uniqueness here in Milwaukee County with mental health care, or our delivery of mental health care. As the HSRI report pointed out, we're the only county in the entire country that they could find that actually runs an institutional-type hospital setting. So, yes, there are uniquenesses, but they're not good uniquenesses. We need to change them. Now, we've had three different reports over 30 years that have indicated, you know, what the problems are, and we haven't gone far enough to reform them. I'm very encouraged today by hearing Director Colon talk about the fact that you're going to put in some very specific actionable plans with benchmarks tied to dates to say that this is our goal, this is what we want to do, and this is by when we expect to be able to achieve it. Now, we all here fully understand that this is an ongoing, rather fluid process, that just because you say April 1st, this is going to happen, it may not happen exactly on April 1st. But if you don't set those benchmarks and those goals, you will never, ever get there. Now, the plan that we, you know, what you provided to us today in this 19-page report is a very good start, and it's the best thing that we've seen to date so far. But what we have to do is go that extra step that you're talking about and saying, okay, this is, we, you know, we know where we want to go. I mean, we have the, you know, the broad-based report from HSRI. We've had all these other groups now come in through over the last 2 years to make these recommendations. I mean, we know what the end game is. The end game is we want to reduce our inpatient facility. That's the end game. So you have to start with where, you know, what your goal is, and then layer it back each step to say, okay, why are we so heavily dependent on our inpatient facility? Okay, we have, you know, second or third busiest emergency room in the entire country. Why do we have the second or third busiest emergency room in the entire country? We don't have community-based support services that stop people from getting to that emergency room. Then they get to the emergency room, they end up in our inpatient facility, and on page two or three of this report, one of your points is that you want to provide mental health care in the least restrictive setting. We're not doing that. Now, that's our goal, and that's a good goal, but we're not doing that right now. When we're forcing people to go back into the system and be stuck in this circle, you know, we're not giving them the least restrictive. These, you know, these people deserve much better than what we have right now, and I agree we're moving in the right direction. But, you know, we have to have those measurable dates, and we have to be able to, the board has to be able to see some benchmarks to say, you know, this by this date, this is what we want to do. And I think, Ms. Lucy, you were, I wasn't here obviously at the time, but you were very instrumental with closing the county hospital on the county grounds and getting that transitioned in. Okay, now, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I assume you must have had a target date by which you wanted to get that done. Yes. And so I think that we need to approach this redesign effort with the exact same thing. And you know, I would impress upon you, and as I said, I'm very encouraged, Director Colon, that, that you're, you know, saying that, okay, we have to have measurable benchmarks. You know, if you, coming on down the road, we're going to see a report about the, I think, medical records. And I mean, and now there's, you know, that's broken down into phases, and we see dates that each phase is expected to be completed. I mean, basically, now this is more complicated, but I mean, it's the same type process, you know. By what day can we expect this to occur? By what day can we expect that to occur? And I think that'll alleviate a lot of the questions that, you know, my colleagues here, Supervisor Mayo, had, you know, well, what hasn't been done and this and that. Now, if you have this nice, you know, easy-to-read schedule that says this is what we want to do, this is what our progress has been to date so far. Because, you know, there are questions that are going to come up. You know, for example, we had, you know, the budget called for closing of a unit in 2013 over at BHD. Last week or 2 weeks ago, we all got an email that said, okay, well, we're closing, but instead of 24 beds, which we expected were going to be closed based on the budget, it says you're closing 10, and I kind of got the impression from reading that email that 10's all yet, and 10 is all we're closing and we're done. Well, you know, my questions are, what happened to the 24 that we all talked about? Now we're only closing 10. Is that going to meet the budgetary, you know, requirements that were set out when we passed the budget that said we're closing 24, but now all of a sudden we're closing 10? Right. You know, and so we need more information so that we can follow along and say this is what we expect, you know, this is when we can expect something to be happening, and then we can kind of monitor this progress.
Director Colon and then Director Lucy.
Madam Chair and Supervisors, I just wanted to really acknowledge the County Executive, the County Board, and really all of us here in this room regarding the significant downsizing and all the achievements that have occurred just this last year, probably more than in the last decade. For example, the closure or the hilltop closure and also the acute care unit
and all the investments we've made in the community with the $3 million and other investments. I mean, it's really significant. And in terms of redesigning our system to be more community-based versus institutionally-based, I think we've made a huge step in that direction just this last year. Now, we're going to continue to move in that direction, and we have to do it at a pace that ultimately keeps in mind the patient and the people that we are serving. But we've making huge strides to become more of a community-based system and less institutionally-based and trying to put people in the least restrictive environment. So I just wanted to mention that. We're moving in that direction, and I know Ms. Lucy wanted to make some additional comments regarding the unit closure.
If I might, Madam Chair. I wanted to say first off that I think that the reason that we could make that unit closure is that the reason that we could make that closure is that our census has gone down. And our census has gone down in part because of our relationship with the private hospitals, but also because we've seen less people that need to be admitted because we have other opportunities. Our staff is telling me they're seeing less people that come frequently. We don't have good data on that yet, but anecdotally from the nursing staff in the emergency department, they're saying they're seeing less people come routinely. They're coming less often, and we think some of that is the beginning of our class program and others beginning to work, although it's too early to get good metrics. I wanted to just clear up the confusion about that, Supervisor. We will close 20. Our capacity will close by 24 beds, but we always had capacity. We had 4 inpatient units. Each of those units have a capacity of 24 beds. What we've been staffing them at was 21 on the women's treatment unit. We've been staffing for 16 on the intensive treatment unit. We've been staffing for 21 on our teaching unit, and then 21 on this unit that closed. And actually, we had moved that down to 18 due to some physician problems. So our capacity will close by 24 beds, but our actual staffed beds will decrease at this point by 10 beds, and we'll continue to monitor that and see what the impact is in terms of our waiting room times for PCS, the amount of time that we back up into hospital emergency department, which is not good for anybody, not the clients, not for that hospital, not for our hospital, and those kinds of things we continue to monitor, and then we'll see what the next piece that we can move down in. But I'm very encouraged that we could close that unit early because we have a decrease in census. Since that's happened, we have not seen a waiting time in a PCS increase, and we have not seen the waiting time in other hospitals increase. Now, it's only happened, basically a week and a half ago, and, you know, we all know that sometimes there are surges and things can happen, but so far it has been something that we were able to manage capacity-wise throughout the community.
Supervisor May.
No,
he still has the floor.
Mm-hmm. Which unit is closed then?
4-3-D.
Okay, and is that a Hilltop unit?
No, that is an acute care unit.
Okay, so are we going to be closing a Hilltop unit as was called for in the budget for 2015?
Yes. I'm sorry.
So there'll be 24 additional Hilltop beds we'll be closing in addition to what you've closed now.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And Supervisor, I think we said in the budget we were going to close beds, 24 beds in Hilltop, but we won't actually close a unit. We have currently 3 units of 24, and now we'd like to have 3 units of 16, so that this gives us the opportunity to have more private rooms, more opportunity for patients to have a space to chill out a little bit. It also gives us less worry about roommate-to-roommate interactions. So we want to end up with more private rooms and also quiet down the rooms, that those units.
Okay.
And so when we say we're closing a unit, it's not quite...
Yeah, okay. So that's the way, and that's the way you had prepared for your budget.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Supervisor Mayo and Supervisor Bowie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, we are not closing our mental health complex, are we? Is that the goal?
Sir, in the budget we said we would close these two units.
My colleague Stink said that when you close Doran Hospital,
Yes, sir.
He turned around and said, we're closing the mental health complex. I want to make it very clear, we are not closing the mental health complex.
Okay. Yes, sir. No, there's no plans on the table to do that.
I just want to make sure of that, because when you make those statements, I don't want people assume that we are getting out of the business. Because when you close our health institution and the Justine gentleman over there, we do not own nursing homes. A lot of people a lot of other counties will put the mental patients who cannot handle into their own private nursing homes that they control. Milwaukee County does not control those things.
Actually,
Go ahead.
Actually, our central unit is a nursing home.
Yeah, but they don't consider that because it's part of the mental health, because you keep saying it. Make it one or the other, all right? Egg to potato, whatever. Second of all, when we talk about when my colleagues in the paper stated that the county board is dragging their feet, I doubt that very seriously. We gave you all the tools and everything else. We do not micromanage what you don't. We might ask for information so we can stay on task, but we do not tell you that, hey, give us a deadline, then we scold you and stuff like that. The county board, this is a joint effort to serve the residents of Milwaukee County and the mental health industry. For the last 3 years, now the community wants to get into the business to help Milwaukee County and the private sector hospitals. At first, Milwaukee County was at this all by themselves for a long period of time. I don't know if the Title 19, Medicaid have changed, but everybody wants to get a piece of this pie. But I'm happy they want to help our residents. But let's make it very clear that this county board and, I don't know, because it's talking about the county board, have always looked out and made sure that you had your tools, your proper funding that we can do to make sure that we can move ahead. Now, if you've been dragging your feet, that's not the county board's fault. And I'm happy that we are got the private sector and all these community-based people want to come to the table. But I see we are making progress. But please, let's make... Oh, another question. Are we the second Mercy institution, Mercy Medicine in the state of Wisconsin? I know St. Joseph was number one, and I thought Sinai was number two, but is the county mental health number two?
I don't actually have that data.
I heard the comment. I want to check the facts. All right. Thank you very much.
I'll check on that data and get back to you.
Please.
Director Cologne.
Madam Chair and Supervisors, I do want to say that it is our ultimate goal to become more of a community-based system and less institutionally based, and what that will mean is that our county will play less of a role as we partner up with the private sector, also community-based organizations, to provide people with services they need to be successful, independent in the community. So that's the ultimate goal. So as a result of that, there will be further downsizing in the near future.
Again,
in collaboration with the board.
Mr. Cologne, I understand what you're saying, but we are not closing completely, because there are going to be some patients out there that I know right now that not even the private sector or community-based organizations want. And we're going to put them on the street. Is that what you're telling me now?
No.
Now I'm coming out your word. Are you going to put these patients that nobody else wants on the streets?
No, of course not.
So we're going to have some beds. Milwaukee County will still be in the business, as the main source.
Right.
And I agree to that.
Yep.
But we are going to have space for those ones who walk in it, the ones who cannot defend for themselves, unless you want to put them in jail. So is that what you're telling me right now?
I think that the county will always have a role in terms of taking care of those that are the most needy without insurance, those that can't be taken care of in other facilities and other entities. But in a much significantly decreased role over time, I believe, is where we all believe that we should be headed.
And I agree. I agree that, because when you first stated that, I thought you were saying, hey, we're going to just put them in on the streets or put them, let them go to jail. And I'm glad we are getting this stick. We are not closing our unit. See, if you came back and asked that question, answer the question that way. So I want to make sure that I understand that, because if we're closing, I'm not for that. I was one of the only two people when they closed Doran Hospital we did not agree on that because of the people with the situation. Madam Chair, I'm done. Thank you.
Okay. Director Lucy and then Supervisor Bowen.
Only thing I would just add to the eloquent statement that Mr. Cologne made is that the Affordable Care Act will make changes to all health care systems. And I think that that is still, as we continue to see how that will play out in this state and nationally, what will be the governor's final decision about Title 19 expansion, those kinds of things are all monitors, all issues that we'll have to monitor and figure out the implications for that for ourselves as for the whole system. And so I do think that there may be some changes in the future that may change for all healthcare systems as well as ourselves.
I would agree, and if I could just make one other comment, I do think that there's going to be eventually what we'll get to is that, and I think this is what the Milwaukee County's role becomes in mental health care, is that there's going to be a segment of patients, you know, and I don't know if it's 25 or it's 35 or what it is, but there's going to be a segment of patients that I believe the county is going to have to take care of, and that allows then the private sector to deal with the increased volume of other patients. And if you don't have both of those things, you know, I am afraid that we end up with people out on the street, and that's clearly not what we need to be doing, obviously.
Thank you.
Okay. Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question pertains to the consultants that were hired for the redesign. Going forward, what's their role right now? Are they still needed? Are they still working on things, and what can we look forward for them to be completing on this project?
Madam Chair, Supervisors, their current role is to really, as you see, work with the action teams to, again, move these recommendations into action goals and into a timetable, and that's their main goal. I think that Director Cologne speaks, then we will bring back a report to say these are the goals, these are the tasks that need to be accomplished. The other major, so there's two sort of big chunks that they're doing. One is on the ground work and meeting with all of the action teams and really facilitating their meetings and moving them to that point. And secondly, the data collection and the data development, I think, will be a very big enhancement to our system. And they're the ones that bring that to the table as well.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Supervisor Bowen. Supervisor Sanfilippo.
Thank you. Have you received any proposals from private entities offering specifically to increase their capacity to help with your downsizing initiatives?
I have not, no.
You haven't?
I personally have not, no.
Okay, has the BHD department received any proposals?
No, okay. I'm thinking of the proposal that went to the Facilities Committee, but that's the only one that I'm aware of.
Okay. I think that, and unfortunately, Supervisor Mayo walked out because I wanted to clarify my comments when I made about the busiest emergency room. I'm talking psychiatric emergency rooms, not necessarily medical emergency room, but it's always been reported to us that Milwaukee County's PSC is among the busiest in the country at 14,000 admissions roughly a year. And again, these are figures going back to 2010 when we had our facility committee intact, so they may be a little outdated, but those were the numbers that we had at those times. But and also going back to 2010, we did receive a proposal from a consortium of healthcare providers that actually proposed a program that would take over and provide the capacity that's needed. Now, you know, whether that was, you know, preferable or not from that group, I think, though, that we're approaching this thing wrong. And I guess, have you ever asked a community what they can provide and asked for proposals? Because I think that, you know, from what we were consistently told when we had the new health facility study committee, we were consistently told meeting after meeting by community providers, we are ready, willing, and able to increase our capacity and to help out with your problem. All we need is to be assured that the funding is going to follow the patients into the community. That's all they asked. And so this is where, and we had a lot of discussion at that point, because, you know, there were some that had the feeling that we could not start downsizing our own facility until we spent an additional $20 or $30 million in the community building capacity. And, you know, and some of us had the position that if we wait for that to happen, it's never going to happen, because we're already spending $186 million a year on mental health care, and we can't afford to spend another 20 or 30. And so you have to do this in a simultaneous drawdown. And if you go, much like any other RFP we put out, if you go to a definite date with a definite contract and say, as of this date, we want to contract for these services, you're going to get providers that are going to come and bid on that RFP, and just like any other contract, they're going to have to put initial dollars up front to make sure they have that capacity, so that on the day the contract starts and we start transferring patients to those facilities, they will be ready. We don't have to give them the money first to build the facility. They need to put the investment in themselves, which they've told us they're all willing to do, so long as they have the one guarantee, and that is of the funding. And that is where I think the downfall is coming in, and the county needs to pick a date. And again, I go back to having these definite target dates. But if you were to say that, you know, put out an RFP that we're going to close down the Hilltop beds, all of them, okay, and solicit from the community a proposal to do that, and just like we have any other RFP process. Nobody is advocating just outright closing down a program without making sure there's a home for the people to go to. I mean, obviously we don't want to do that, and by state statute we can't. But the state statutes say we have to see that this care is provided for. It doesn't say we have to provide the care. It says we have to see that the care is provided for. That's why every other county in the state has opted to use private providers to provide the care. There is no other county that has, I shouldn't say no other, there's a few that do run some nursing home facilities or things like that, but for the most part, nobody's doing the system the way we're doing it. But this is why it's important to have these definite target dates, and this is what we need to come back to the board to monitor, because the board, while we didn't pass a resolution saying we're completely closing the facility, we passed a resolution over a year ago saying that we recognize community-based services is a much better a delivery model for the patients. I mean, this didn't even have anything to do with money, cost savings, or anything. In fact, our chairwoman, Dmitrievich, went out of the way to make sure the language was put in there that we're not looking at this as a fix for our budget and to save money. What we're looking at this is for providing the best care for the patients. We recognized, and after three reports have told us this now, that we're not doing it. We've recognized we need to make the changes, and we have to follow through and make those changes. And again, you know, I don't want to constantly be, you know, Chicken Little that the sky is falling here. But I am encouraged that we are talking now about getting some measurable metrics on a plan with some actionable target dates to really see getting this done. But we need to have it sooner rather than later. And the private sector is unless they, everybody that came to us during all those meetings we had in 2010 on the new facility committee, unless everybody made this up, okay, but to the letter, every community provider said, we're ready, willing, and able to increase capacity. All we need is a guarantee from you that the funds are going to be there.
Director Cloud.
Madam Chair, Supervisors, we are, within the next couple of months, we're already looking at our next budget and looking to possibly do another RFI to see the interest with some very specific things that we are interested in perhaps downsizing. So there'll be more of that to come in the very near future. And I wasn't here in 2010, but some of those ideas that were surfaced then could be possible ideas that surface again as we move forward. But we're going to take a very deliberative, thoughtful approach in how we approach our downsizing. And obviously, we'll definitely need to include our partners to see if there's interest and capacity to be able to accommodate our downsizing.
I would only add that we did do an RFI at the end of 2010, the beginning of 2011, and that RFI, I believe, we reported out to the Health and Human Needs. I can't quite quite remember. And much of the information received in that RFI are the things that we've utilized to do these community initiatives that we've done so far. So the class program, the additional CRC, those were that was the information that we sought, and that was the information that we used for some of the programming planning.
I move to receive and place on file, Madam Chair.
Okay. We have a motion to receive and place on file. Clerk, on that motion, please call the roll.
Harris.
Aye.
Mayo.
Aye.
Sanfilippo.
Aye.
Bowen.
Aye.
Stanford.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Madam Chair.
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to receive and place
Thank
this
you.
Item on file is approved.
Item number 14.